after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it.
Shout out to Sanjay, dog, we gonna make a way. Now sit back and listen to these bars I'm about to say. Hit the button, young, and get loose on the beat. We get it in the booth like we get it in the street. Yup, good night, end of my flight. Good morning, good evening. Best believe I tell you a story, you better believe it. If the world was in our palms, we break it in pieces. We a different kind of animal, take it or leave it. Heart frozen, cold blooded, we belong in a freezer. We hotter than the Bahamas on the beach with a heater. Yeah, call me Mr. Popular, can't see me with binoculars. Shout out to the haters and everybody who knocking us. Steady J got interviews, intermission and interludes. The baddest model chicks and the real rap spitting dudes. Other being gospel and all of the above. And it's all on one show and it fits like a glove on the
life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. Life after dust, life after dust. If you living like we living, then you get it how we get it.
Steady J, what's good, my dude? You keep doing what you're doing, fam. Keep showing love to all us unsigned artists, man. Good things gonna come back to you, homie. I salute you, B. Life after dust. Y'all now tuned in. Holla.
There we go. We was having some technical difficulties there. Whee! All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Life of the Dust Live. This is your boy, Sonny J. And it's a beautiful Monday here on the show. Excited to have you guys. Man, every beginning of the week, man, we always do what we call Hot to Dust Mondays. Every Wednesday, we do what we call Hump Day at the Dust Wednesdays. And this whole entire month is our sixth annual Dust Model Month. That's where we do all different types of things, where we talk to different people in the industry, whether it's photographers, models themselves, hairstylists, MUAs, which is makeup artists, whatever. Whoever's in the industry, we talk to them. And this whole entire month, it turns into basically a classroom because you get a lot of information on people that's in the industry already. And you get some candid conversation. Well, tonight is no different because we got a great set of panelists for tonight. Cannot wait to talk to them here in a second. And our panel for tonight is known as the Male Model Roundtable. So this one's pretty special, you know, not just because I'm a male, but because I think this is one of the most unappreciated entities of the industry. So I'm definitely excited to talk to these individuals and make it moves and just find a way to get around the red tape that is for male models. So first up on the line, I have my boy Chuck Charles in the building. What's up, Chuck?
What's up, Steady? Hey, I appreciate you having me on tonight. Discuss this topic that I think is a real important one, and you know, we can talk about it and see if we can break through a little bit more, at least give some other people some confidence to break through.
Yes, sir. All right, let me go to the next person. Next person I have, I've actually known this dude for a while and watched him, you know, make moves. And you know, somehow this dude, he finds a way to still make things happen. You know, and like I said, in this scarce, I mean, and I won't even just say it's scarce, it is underappreciated. I want to welcome to the show my boy Brian Dewberry. What's up, bro?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. I'm glad to catch up with you, man. I've been, you know, it's been a while since we've chopped it up, but I've been paying attention to what you've been doing.
Yeah, man. I'm just out here trying to get on the come up. Basically, just trying to network and meet a lot of people that have been in the game for a while and, you know, accomplish my dreams as an aspiring model.
Yes, sir. All right, now my final challenge for the moment is another person who, you know, this guy, first of all, I wanted, before we set this up, the person who introduced me to him, you know, she has been an intricate part of my branding period over the last year, almost a whole year now. And, you know, this person who listens, well, this is a male version of her. This is a person that I'm watching him work hard too, and it's great to see him kind of make some moves as well. So I'm welcome to the show, my boy Damon. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? Just chilling, chilling.
Yes, man. Well, now we got you three in the building. Man, we got some stuff to get off our chest, man. And of course, like I told you, one. Male models, man, they're not appreciated as much as much people would say, man. I mean, I really look at it. You can tell by looking at the magazines, whatever. Most of the opportunities go to women. So the first question I want to ask you each, and I'll start with Chuck first. As far as, you know, why did you want to get in the industry in the first place? Like, what made you get in this industry?
Well, again, like you said, it's not a lot of guys who seem to actually pursue modeling, but there's a lot of guys I think that would like to. But you know, sometimes people look at male models in a weird way, you know, because they may not think it's the most masculine thing in the world, or you know, they feel like they don't look good enough, or the body might not be fit enough, what have you. So I think it's a lack of confidence in guys that makes them, you know, kind of shy away from it. But me, I'm probably one of the most confident guys going. So for me, having that type of confidence, and when I look in the mirror, I just love what I see. Chuck Charles is gorgeous, of course. So I said, I might as well share that with the world, man. Why wouldn't I share that with the world, man? I should be everywhere. I should be on billboards, on the side of buses, everywhere, Sadie. You know that. But, no, really, to me, it was the thing I wanted to do because I enjoy getting attention, and I enjoy dressing nice, and I enjoy actually, I really want to pave the way for some younger guys to come up and know that modeling can be cool. Also, with my dad, G Money, you know, our photographer and boss, he gets the best out of you. So, you know, it's a thing that he makes you feel good about what you're doing and confident about what you're doing as well. So when you got a good team, a good support system around you, it gives you even extra confidence. So, you know, I got a good team around me, and I really do enjoy doing it.
Awesome, awesome. All right, I'm going to go to Damon next. So, Damon, what made you, you know, get into the industry?
Well, it was something I would dabble with a little bit when I was younger. And, you know, I had sports and stuff, too, so I kind of strayed away from it. But it was always there in the back of my mind, you know. And as of late, you know, I've been going to shoots and stuff with my female kind of partner. And photographers have been wanting to shoot me and stuff. And it's kind of woke it back up in me. And, you know, it is, you know, male models are kind of underrated, underrated, you know, as far as women get all the, you know, the shine, most of the shine. So if I can try to bring some spotlight back to the male models, I'm going to try to do my part too, you know. But what guy wouldn't want to be a male model? And, you know, I've always enjoyed being on camera and the attention and stuff, you know.
Okay. All right, so that leaves you, Brian. So what made you get into the industry?
Oh, man. You know, I probably have the most cliche reason out of everybody, and that's pretty much, you know, people telling me when I was younger that, you know, I should pursue modeling simply because of how I look. And, you know, of course, I was a little skeptical about it because, you know, I really didn't know nothing about, you know, modeling, let alone any male models who did it and who made it look good. And, you know, after I grew up and, you know, started to learn more about it, it was something that I became interested in and something that I wanted to help other people, other young men who were pursuing it to get into once I've gotten to the level to where I can help them.
Awesome, awesome. Now, my first tough question, first tough issue, I should say, is now, in my opinion, it feels like some of the reason why male models don't necessarily get the love, and I kind of want to get feel for y'all how y'all feel on this. Do you feel that a lot of times male models don't get love because of the fact that that there's a stereotype out there that most of the it's some photographers out here that's not trying to be photographers. They're trying to be what we call GWCs, guys with cameras. And do you feel that's the main that's the main point of why males don't necessarily get out of opportunities because there's too many guys with cameras that you have to dodge?
Well, I'm not sure about that with the photographers not you know, not participating, I guess, or giving it their all. Sometimes I do. I can see from a guy's point of view, taking a picture of another guy. To me, sometimes they may not pick or get the best out of the guy. Sometimes, like I said, my photographer does, but I could see that. I could see myself behind a camera taking a picture of another guy and not getting the sexiest shot. I might feel a little weird about it, you know, but I think that as a professional photographer, whether it's a male, female, or animal in front of you, you got to get your best shot, you know, and I guess that's the difference between a guy with a camera and a photographer. So if you're taking the shots, you got to realize as a photographer that that's your work. Your name goes on that. You know, at the bottom of that photo or that shot, it should be your name there, and that's what you should represent. So before you put it out as a photographer, you should definitely make sure it's the best possible shot that you could take before you actually publish that or you know, try to have it published or anything like that or submit it to anybody. And I think sometimes some guys' eyes might be off and, you know, they might be submitting shots that really are not the best shots to submit. And again, I think that could hurt a photographer as well as the model. And sometimes that might hurt male models, you know, when they, you know, because like you say, we're a rare breed anyway. So if we put out some shots that's not, you know, pretty much spectacular, that's going to make it even more difficult. So as a photographer, I would say if you're taking shots of a male model, please, please make sure it's your best work.
All right. I'll throw it to Brian.
Yeah, I can see how that could be a reason why a lot of guys don't want to become or are a little intimidated into becoming male models. But I would say my reason would be more so the most obvious one. You know, nowadays, there's a lot of guys who are, you know, down low or, you know, perceived as, you know, not being straight. And a lot of times when it comes to models, males think that that's automatically associated with women. And if they get into the industry or if they pursue that, they're automatically going to be looked at as feminine or, you know, not masculine or, you know, not as manly as they are, which isn't the case. A lot of males have a misconception of, you know, the art and the hard work that actually goes into being a male model and how masculine it really can be in the different types of forms. there are to do. You know, there's print, you know, fashion shows, you know, runway, you know, stuff like that. So for me, I would just say that a lot of times it falls under men feeling that they're being stripped of their masculinity.
Okay, good. That's actually going to allude to a point I was going to make later. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to throw it to you, Damien. What's your take on that? Do you feel that it is the whole persona about these guys is not really shooting this to be shooting to be professional? They're more so trying to just shoot women and try to hook up with women? Is that, you think, is one of the biggest problems?
I definitely think that is one of the bigger problems we have today, you know. And a lot of photographers might see it's a little easier to shoot women because, you know, I feel like there's a bigger crowd for the women models. And a lot of guys who model are seen as unmasculine photographers as well because, you know, just because of the, you know, the art, you know, it's trying to look good on cameras, you could be taken the wrong way. And a lot of male models already are, as you said, like on the low a little bit. So we have a bad rep already. So I can see why it kind of made me hesitant as well when I start shooting and stuff, because there is a lot of guys out there with cameras, but they're not really trying to shoot guys. They are more focused on the women. But you know, when they, you know, when you get offered to shoot, you got to make you sit back like and wonder, like, you know, wow, is he really trying to shoot, or is he a photographer, or is he just a guy with a camera? You know, there's a very big difference to me, you know.
Those answers. Another one I'm going to throw at you is, and y'all kind of alluded to it as far as the masculinity or whatnot, but, As far as working with female models, you know, collaborating with them and whatnot, you know, what's some of the things that, you know, that they may have shared with you as far as growth in, take that even further, as far as from the fan point of view, you know, have you encountered women who necessarily pushed one more male models? Because I've noticed that a lot, like, people will be surprised how many people ask me at least a month, do y'all feature males? I want to see some males. You don't understand. My inbox is full of that a lot. And so do you feel that's another case, you know, as far as, you know, what? So again, the question is, what's some of the advice that female models may have shared with you as far as trying to get an edge? And That's one of my main questions. And then the other one was as far as women, have you heard from different women wanting to see more male models?
I have done a few shoots with some of our female models on Big Time, and they're very supportive when we are in the studio together, because me, as far when I was starting out, I was doing all kind of prison poses and, you know, like I'm at the prom and, you know what I mean? I'm just like, you know, I'm on one knee putting my peace sign up. Like, they're like, hold on now. You're not taking pictures here. You're modeling. It's two different things. So, you know, I had people in there like Candace, you know, who've been in your magazine before, and Tanya, you know, I've done some shoots with them, and they definitely coached me along, and they're very supportive as far as that goes. You know, they never really, you know, like rush the situation or like, you know, hurry up and get them out of here so that, you know, I can get my solo shots or nothing like that. They actually gave me a lot of good advice and actually showed me how to actually pose and things of that nature. So, you know, I really had no problem with the ladies. Then, of course, Chuck Charles love the ladies around him anyway. You don't really know that. So the more the merrier. So and as far as being masculine and taking shots and stuff like that, you know, for me it comes from within, you know what I mean? So, you know, whatever anybody's thinking out there, it really don't matter to me because my masculinity comes from within. I want my shots to look good. I don't care if I got on a pink shirt or a black shirt. It don't matter to me. So, because again, you know, it's within me. And again, the amount of women that I'm around and the amount of women that's around me, everybody know I'm masculine anyway, so I don't really have a problem with that. But yes, and they do it, you know, try to inspire me to do more shoots and stuff like that, you know, and they tell me that I need to get in the studio and push out some more stuff. And they actually, you know, they actually share my pictures and put them out online and things like that. And, you know, stuff like that do make you feel good as a male model because it's really no guy. It's difficult for a guy to go on a guy site and hit like when he got his shirt off or, you know, trying to look sexy. I mean, you know, it's difficult for another guy, you know, steady. And, you know, you feel weird, like, you know, like my man, right, when you put the picture out, my man got your little jacket on and shit like that. He looked nice, you know what I'm saying? And I want to say, dude, hey, oh, as a matter of fact, the panel, all your guys look great. You know what I mean? Really. And I'm my own biggest critic. To me, I'm like, man, they look all good. I look terrible. I'm always my own biggest critic. That's my problem. You know, I never think a shot is right. You know what I mean? But, you know, people tell me you look great. Everything looks nice. You know what I mean? But it's still going to be difficult for me to see either one of these guys on the panel doing their little shot and got their little six-pack showing with their hand in their belt. And for me to hit like on that goddamn shot, it's going to be very difficult for me to do that. So I think that's a problem, too, where, you know, and then you got ladies out here who may want to comment on your shot or hit the like button, but then their man looking over their shoulder and like, what you commenting on that? You know what I mean? So, you know, so you got to be careful with that, too, Seth. You know what I mean? You never know what's going on in the household. You know, guys check phones and all that stuff now, you know, and that shit is on the World Wide Web. So you like, you know, some lady like, or Lord have mercy, you know, L-E-W-D, they put that down, Lord, you know, so it's difficult to do that, you know, when you got a man looking over your shoulder, you know what I mean? But I know they can't get any better. I know when they look at me, they think it. They're like, Lord, Chuck Child, you look good. So I think sometimes that's the problem. And I think that guys would support guys more if we was more comfortable in our masculinity and being able to say, hey, man, that's a nice shot. I'm going to hit life for you because that's a nice fucking shot. So we need to be able to, you know, overcome that little thing. I mean, whether you're gay or straight, it's your own business. You know what I mean? But we should not let that stop us from supporting our own brothers in the industry.
Hey, I'm on
exactly.
You.
Yes, sir. So I'm one of them opening. I just opened the line for the other part of the panelists. I'm glad to have you too, bro. My boy Adrian.
Glad to have you checking as well, man.
What's going on, man?
What's good, Adrian? What's good?
Not much, man. I was listening in. Y'all talking some good stuff, man.
Oh, we got to definitely get your opinion, too. Because we, man, I mean, they've been going in already. Like,
I had
no doubt at all. I was like, I just had this feeling. I was like, this is going to be a good panel. And so to kind of catch up with you, some of the questions we asked earlier, first off, what made you get into the industry? And the second question we asked as far as for the panel was as far as male models and male photographers, do you feel one of the biggest gaps in the industry is because male models, there's so many male photographers who aren't really trying to be professional? You get that's a part of the problem as well.
Yeah, I caught up on that part right there, and then I got the phone to text you to let you know I was on. But the way I broke into it, man, was I kept on completing goal after goal in my life. And modeling and acting was always one of them. But it was never a figure set in front of me to say, hey, this is the way to go, or hey, it can be done, or, you know, all that. So I went and played football. I received a full scholarship to play football at the University of West Alabama. That was my goal coming out of high school, and I received that scholarship. So I went to college, and my parents and stuff, like my mom and my dad wasn't together, and I come from a poor family, so they wasn't able to support me while I was in college. And you know, being a kid, going head first into college, you don't know that you're about to experience a whole new life and bills gonna come your way and things of that nature, you know. So I was in college and I wasn't able to feed myself, and I call home for mama food stamp card, and you know, I'd be taking food out of my brothers and sisters now. So my thing was, okay, well, I'm an able-bodied man, so I'm a quit school and I'm gonna go find a way and I'm gonna make a way. So I got out, I went and pursued barbering. I got my barber's license, so I started cutting hair. So I found myself in the same spot another year behind another year. So I said, you know, it's got to be more in life for me to do than, you know, cut hair. And I want to be known and I want people to know me. And I've always wanted to model and act. Like, I've done it in high school and plays and stuff, but I didn't know how to get to it mainstream. So I figured the next biggest thing I could do where I could be accepted at was join the Army. So I joined the Army. I joined the Army, and while I was in the Army, I was coming back from PT after, I think it was like after 5 o'clock, and I heard this little thing on the radio station, if you ever wanted to model and act, and call this number and come down today, we're going to have a casting, and if you got what it takes, then we're going to send you to Dallas. So I was like, what the hell, man, I ain't got nothing to lose, you know. So I went down there, man, they chose me, and I ended up going to the event in Dallas. I know it's a long story. Y'all bear with me.
Oh, no, I'm listening. This is inspiration. I'm listening.
Okay, cool. So I went to the event in Dallas, and I ended up having to pay for the Hyatt Hotel, which was about $200,000 a night. And then being in the military, you don't make that much money, you know. So I had to travel from El Paso, Texas to Dallas. That was an 8-hour drive. So when I got there, you know, they had a little itinerary for everybody to follow. And then we walked in front of like 100 and some agents from all over the world. And one out of those 100 picked, that were, it was called MC Squared out of Miami. So just as soon as they picked me up and they had a conversation with me, they dropped me. They dropped me because they said, well, you're in the military. If we wanted you to fly to Milan tomorrow, you can't do it because you can only travel 150 miles outside of the base, you know, which was true. So I shook his hand. I told him I appreciate the opportunity. And the guy that was the master ceremony said at the end, he said, no doesn't mean now. Excuse me, no doesn't mean never. It just means not now. So I took that and I let it stay with me for a little while. So I came up on my next goal upon getting out of the military, which was working this job, making tissue and paper towel for $23 an hour. So upon getting out of the military, I went straight to that job. I worked that job for 2 years. While I was going in, I was working 8, 12, and 16 hours every other day. So while I was going in one day, I got to work early, and I was going through my Facebook. And this other guy that I met at the event that got signed the same day I did, but I got dropped, he was doing fairly well. He was doing independent films and stuff like that. He's in the DFW area. So I seen he was doing well. I said, damn, man, I know I look better than this cat. Man, I know I can do what he's doing, you know? So my next thing
that's
after
so
that
Chuck.
Was...
Huh? I was saying that's so Chuck. That's exactly what Chuck would sound like a second ago.
I feel the exact same way. I'm scrolling through the time. I said, man, I know I look better than this dude, man. What he got over me that I don't got. And then that day right there, I cleaned up my Facebook. I took all the trash talking to the homeboys about Alabama football and being in the military. I took all that stuff down, man. I made it look like what I wanted to be. I still had no connects. I still had nowhere to go. I just knew I wanted to be a model, and I knew I wanted to be an actor. I still had no direction whatsoever. So after that, I went to work. So I went to work, and I kept on looking into stuff. Like, I went through Casting 360. I went through Explore Talent, all this garbage. You know, I don't advise anybody trying any of that stuff because I already done it. And that third day, a lady that was mutual friends with me and that guy hit me up and asked me to come out to, Sherman, Texas, to do a fashion show. So I must have prayed all the way out there. I said, God, if you don't want me in this industry and this ain't what you got, you don't see fit for me to do, then just give me a flat tire or something. I'll turn around, I promise. So I prayed all the way out there. And then I finally got out there, and I took a few pictures with a couple of well-known people around the DFW area. And after that, I just started getting more people hitting me up, come do this fashion show, come do this photo shoot. And pretty much one thing led to the next, and it's got me here today. So that's the story behind how I got started. And I met this guy named Gigi. I don't know if y'all know him or not, but it's Glenn Gilzini. He's from Europe, and he designs all of my clothing. He styles me for my photo shoots, and I met him the first day that I started doing all of this, and he's been with me ever since. So I can't say that he came in when he seen something in me or seen me gaining extra exposure. He told me from the jump, he was like, man, people gonna have a hand in trying to pull you towards them, but just listen to me and be loyal to me, and I'm gonna teach you everything that you need to know, and we gonna get through it together. And you know, if it's God's will, we'll be at the top together, you know. So I listened to him. He coached me, you know, coached me through how to photo shoot with a female, how to look masculine in my shoots, everything, you know. And it stuck with me, and today I'm where I'm at because of him, man. And the next day after that, I also got signed with an agency, but it was local to DFW, and I did nothing mainstream through her, but I learned a lot, you know, that pretty much set my foundation forward so that I could work with the Tyler Perrys and the Jason Statham and the Kevin Harts and all those people. Yeah, so, I got to say that, you know, Dallas has definitely been my starting point, and Dallas pretty much fathered me, if you will.
Yeah, because I saw that you worked with Calvin Brown, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Calvin. I work with Calvin.
Yep. Again, Damon shot with him too. That's the ironic part about this. I'm another one to panel on Damon. He actually shot with Calvin too.
Okay. Yeah, and man, I did everything that I done through my first year was free. I ain't charged nobody nothing. I ain't want to charge nobody nothing. My thing was I want to learn. I want to know the person I'm supposed to be, so that when I get to the professional level, you know, I can show up and I can show out. So everything that I did, every trip that I made, was nobody gave me nothing on gas, nobody. You got to invest in yourself. If you don't invest in yourself, then you might as well just give it up before you start.
All right. All right, so my next question I got for each of y'all, and I'm going to start with Damon first. As far as looking at your career so far and what you've done, what do you feel is something that you need to improve on the most?
Damon.
So Damon, I'm going to start with you first, Damien. Sorry. We'll start with you first, Bernie. The question again is, you know, what's something that you looked at your career so far, what do you want to improve upon the most? Oh, there you go. His line dropped on. There you go. Hello, bro.
Hello.
There we go. We got you.
Hey, Damon, man, you're talking so much. I'm gonna put my phone down.
But yes, again, the question is: as far as your career thus far, looking at what you've done so far, what would you improve on?
I would just, work on my confidence a little bit, and as far as getting more exposure, you know, because I'm just starting out, so I don't have a big fan base or nothing like that. So if I could improve on it, I would just put my name out there more, put myself out there a little more, you know.
Okay. Check on him. Brian, go to you. What would you say you would improve on the most?
Oh man, I'm gonna have to piggyback off of what he said. It probably has to be, you know, getting my name out there as a business, because believe it or not, you know, our name is our business. It's all about how we go about representing ourselves and how we allow others to perceive ourselves, and also just trying to get in the mindset of going to that next level. So far, you know, I found myself stuck in that beginner level mindset, even though, you know, I know that I'm surpassed that and ready to take it to the next level. So that'll probably be the the biggest improvement that I could make.
Chuck.
Well, using social media, you know, because I'm not heavy on social media, and nowadays, you know, that's the way to start them, it seems like. If you can work that social media right, you can become a star. And I don't work it the way I should. I kind of sit back and, you know, companies like this push me, and I need to represent myself better. And I need to work social media a lot more, man, because you know, I got a lot of things going on that I don't even, nobody even about, you know, just sitting there, you know, what have you, and not sharing it with nobody. Social media will be my biggest improvement, you know. Other than that, I'm gorgeous. I mean, shit.
Adrian, bro. What would you improve on mostly?
Well, honestly speaking, I definitely say that I'm never too comfortable in any area of modeling or acting. I think there's always something there to learn and benefit from and to take over, to, you know, put out there so somebody else can learn something from me. So I'm never a person that I am. I feel like, you know, if somebody said, I mean, you know everything, I don't feel that way. You know, I still got a lot to learn. I got a long way to go. And, you know, that's just, I think it just comes with, you know, showing up for every shoot, showing up for every movie, and, you know, just continuing to grow.
Okay, now, on the flip side, and I'm going to start with you first, Adrian, what do you feel that the industry themselves need to improve on as far as interacting with male models?
Interacting with male models, it needs to be, I think when you look from an industry perspective, people, they're more interested in, I think, the female brand. So I think they need to open it up. And then they also, they're closed to tattoos and you know, I hate to say this on the radio, but they in it for the white man, you know. And it's us brothers.
Oh, you can say what you want in here.
Okay, well, they in it for the white man. You know, it's us brothers out here who we have an education, and we can do the same thing that they can, but we're being overlooked because we're set behind by, you know, things that's going on in the world. Like we got other brothers just going around sagging and this and that and other, so we get looked down upon and frowned upon because we don't look like the white man, you know. So coming from me, I think that the color thing, it definitely needs to open up. Calvin Klein won't be so open to just going out getting a black guy, I don't think, me personally. But Ralph Lauren did go get Tyson Beckford. But, you know, it's just a slim shot of us black guys getting in the door, modeling-wise. And thank God for Kevin Hart and Denzel and Morris Chestnut and those guys for opening it up, and Terrence Howard for opening it up in acting. Thanks to Empire, they even opened it up more for black people, and they see that the black people are paying attention because Empire has soared all those white shows that they expect people to be watching because, you know, Empire's on. So Empire's taking all the numbers. So I definitely think that the world needs to open up and accept black people, and the tattoo thing is going to be there. That's just what people do, you know. So I think it needs to open up that way too.
Yes, yes. All right, throwing it to Chuck.
In my opinion, the industry got to start seeing the beauty of men in general. You know, it's like, again, beauty don't have to mean feminine. You know what I mean? I mean, the, you know, in a man of color or a man, period. You know, we got the, you know, we got nice thighs, nice legs, good body structure, you know, jawline, all that stuff going on. And those are the things that are supposed to make a, you know, female model look good. So why we can't see the beauty of a guy, you know, and let that be represented. When you think of beauty, you know, you always see this long-haired person, fair-skinned, you know, and very, very slim. And if people just keep pushing that at you and pushing that at you, and every time you see that, you see the word beauty over top of it. As a kid, all you see beauty, Revlon, beauty, whatever, beauty, beauty, beauty. And every time you see beauty, you see this long flowing hair, fair skinned person, then as you're growing up, what you're going to think is beauty is that. I mean, it's just pushed at you so much. So as hard as they push that as being beauty, why not, you know, put some guys up there and stop pushing that as being beautiful too? Not just black guys, but just guys in general. You know what I mean? And because with guys, we got so much to offer as far as being able to show off clothes and being able to show off shoes. And now with today's society, we might be showing off fingernail polish. With today's society, there ain't no telling. So lipstick and everything else. I'm serious with today's society, the way it's going.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I mean, anybody can marry anybody now. And it's okay to show two fathers and a kid on the commercial. So why we can't, you know, start soon advertising, you know, the things that women advertise? I mean, they're going to have to get into showing the beauty of a man, too, especially with today's society. And, you know, I have no problem with it, and I would be number one on the beauty list. That's the way the industry should change, though. Show the beauty of a man.
Damien?
I think they pretty much got it. You know, I definitely got to agree with them on that. That they got to see the beauty in men, and there definitely needs to be more opportunities for black men. You know, a lot of people don't see black men as beautiful. You know, they got the select few, like you said, like Denzel, and you know, and that's what they pursue. You know, look, basically when they see a black man, that's what they think of. They just need to open their mind and, you know, see black is beautiful, because black is beautiful, you know. It's not bad, and, you know, to open their mind and give us more opportunities, and we as black men need to step up and take those opportunities, you know. That's how I feel.
Okay. Brian?
I totally agree with everything that all the other panelists said. my biggest thing would be that the industry needs to not be so biased when it comes to certain types of modeling, male modeling. For instance, when it comes to fashion shows and stuff like that, I've done a lot of fashion shows, and a lot of the designers, you know, if they do have males, they want them to be, you know, slender. They want them to be, you know, have a small frame. You know, they can have a little muscle, but for the most part, they want them to fit into, you know, these tiny articles of clothing like these women do. And there's really no clothing that fashion designers design for fashion shows that are made for, you know, muscular guys or, you know, bigger guys outside of an athletic frame. And I think they just need to open that door so that a lot more males can actually have a wider range into getting into the industry. For a lot of the bigger guys, you know, the only thing that they can do when it comes to modeling is, you know, sports shoots or athletic shoots and stuff like that. They really can't venture off and do the other things like most of the smaller frame guys can. So that's pretty much my biggest thing.
Okay, I'm going to mix it up a little bit. I'm going to throw a goofy behind question in there. But first of all, I'm going to set it up. And a great determining factor that males are definitely a necessity in this industry and the women are speaking. I mean, look at movies like Chocolate City. Look at movies like Magic Mike, XXL. The women are going out in numbers to go see this stuff. So obviously the women want to see it. I mean, I've even seen more so in my timeline more than lately. I mean, women are like going extra ham about going to see male strippers. So
it's definitely a market out there for it, man. It's a market for it.
So my question is this, my goofy question for y'all is, if you was in a movie like Chocolate City or Magic Mike, or Magic Mike, what would be your code stripper name? Y'all prepared for that? See, y'all can't be prepared for everything. Yeah, I throw some loops at you every now and then.
Hey, I'm caramel drip all day. Caramel drip. I already thought about this stuff. I'm ahead of you. Hell, I was trying to find a captain, but I couldn't find a captain. I don't have an agent. I'd be looking for my own work, man. I was mad the movie came out and I didn't get the captain.
I know all the whippers are. I remember seeing them on my timeline. You was clowning. Because, I mean, when the Chocolate City was on the BET, my entire timeline lit up.
Shut down.
They're like, oh,
man, I even wish that I knew somebody. I wish I knew where it was a male exotic strip club at. I promise you that I'd be so much further ahead in this in the acting industry than I am, because I'd be going to make my coins at night and going to shoot somebody film by day.
There you go. All right, so I'm pretty sure I know your answer is going to be this. What's going to be your nickname?
12 inches of gorgeousness.
Oh my God, really?
I think I go on before him. I say, hey, you expecting 12 inches over here? You ain't wait on the next
12 inches of gorgeous. You can go Mr. But you can call me Mr. Gorgeous, but I ain't going to say it for sure. But you can just call me Mr. Gorgeous.
Oh, man. Brian, what would your nickname be? Oh, hold on. I'll come back to him in a second. Damien,
yeah,
what would be your code nickname?
Oh, man.
Let's see here.
Oh, there we go. Both of them the same time. Hold on. So I'm going to go to Damien first. Damien, what would be your stripper nickname if you was in Chocolate City?
If I was in Chocolate City? Dreads and Johnson.
Y'all are here tripping tonight. Y'all are here tripping tonight, man. Oh God! It took me a while to get. Never mind. I'm there now. Oh man! All right, Brian. What would be your nickname that you were having there?
Man, my nickname would have to be Showcase.
Okay, I feel like there's like something hidden behind that, because you kind of just threw that in there.
Yeah, there's always some, you know, extra behind the curtain, you know, they got to come find out.
Oh, okay, there we go. I knew there was something. I'm like, nah, he said that name out there. There was something about that, okay. All right, so go ahead and let everyone know where they can find y'all. Chuck, I'm going to start with you first. Where can everyone find you on social media and whatnot?
I'm with Big Time. You can check me out on Chuck Charles, and I'm the Big Time on Facebook. Also, you can go to Blog Talk Radio / Chuck Charles, or either / Big Time Radio, because we also do a radio talk show Sunday nights at 9 called Time to Shine. And anybody that get a chance, please check out the show. And, we got all kind of photos and stuff like that. And I would love to link up with you guys, because you guys sound like you're doing some real good stuff, and I want to be a part of that. And if we team up and unite a little bit, maybe we can, you know, open the door for everybody else, okay? So check me out.
Yeah, cool.
All right. I'm Brian.
Yeah, man. You know, I don't have as much as everybody else, but everybody can reach me at on Facebook, Brian Dewberry. Or on Instagram, it's Humble Yourself, HUMBL5_yourself.
Damien?
Yeah, you can follow me on Facebook, Damon Pitts, and my Instagram is just the_Damon Pitts.
There you go. Pitts is, I was about to start singing that song from... All right, so Adrian, that leaves you.
All right. You can find me on Facebook at Adrian Lockett. It's my public figure page and also my private page. I went through and I deleted a couple of accounts that wasn't active, so that left me some opening to add somebody on my private page. Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, everything else is Adrian_Lockett. That's two T's on the Lockett.
Bam. Well, people, that wraps up another show. I definitely thank each of you guys for checking in today. Definitely a blessing, man. I'm glad people got to hear this show. Because, I'm really passionate about this, man. And I'm glad to be able to have some great brothers of it. So, again, thank you.
One more thing, man, if you don't mind.
Thank you, man. And I want to say this as far as my nickname. I want to throw this out there. My nickname, I told this girl, and I really had her really believe this. Like, I really had this elaborate story making her believe I was a male stripper. Chocolate Thunder. That'd be my nickname.
That sounds like that movie, Traffic.
It's a nice and chocolatey, and I come to strike.
Oh, it's actually a girl out there in Texas, man. A girl out there in El Paso, she called me Chocolate.
I'm gonna stay with Carly Ucetti. When I ain't doing none of that Chocolate Thunder stuff. But I do wanna thank you for having us on and creating a platform for us, man, because you know, with all things like this, with all some showing up, showcasing, things like this, we wouldn't even have an avenue to travel down, man. And I'd like to also let everybody know that I have done a few shots in Cetti's magazine and, in Canvas, and we really appreciate the things that you do for us, man. It's real big. It's huge to us, actually. So, that's a big time. Me, Chuck Charles, Cetti, hey, I'm loving it, man, because with all the platform, nobody can hear us anyway. And I thank you for giving us
that's right.
Thank y'all, man, because without y'all being guys in the industry who are brave enough to go against the crowd, heck, I wouldn't even be able to do what I do. So I'm humbled and blessed that I have people like y'all in the industry that help me tear down these stereotypes.
Right. And one more thing, I hate to cut y'all off. Everybody out there in radio land, if you got a chance, go cop Get Hard. It's in Walmart right now. Get Hard, like I said, Kevin Hart, Will Ferrell. It's a hilarious movie, very good. It's my first big premiere out on the silver screen. And then I got another one coming out in October with Shia LaBeouf from the white guy from Transformers. So if y'all get a chance, go check it out.
Oh, congratulations. He's not doing that stuff. He was doing that motivational video, was he? God, he was cracking me up.
You got to do it! You got to do it!
Shia LaBeouf was about a few months ago, man. When Shia LaBeouf did a little some inspirational video, and he was, that dude was wildin'.
You got to do it!
This is actually a more serious movie right here. He flipped out a few times on set on the directing and stuff, but man, I got to take my hat off. And it's a lot of racial tension going on these days. And while I was on set, I'm a black guy, and Shia LaBeouf, he's a white guy. Shia LaBeouf came to me and he told me, he said, "Man, you've been in the military before. Say something, just along the line of what's going on, and I'll back you on it." So he opened the door for me to say something in the movie, which moved me that much ahead in the industry. And also it gave me the union status of SAG-AFTRA. And not only that, but for 8 hours, I got paid $880. And then after 8 hours, it's time and a half. So that opened up like a whole new world for me. So when that movie comes out and my family see me talking on screen, I'm a country boy from nowhere. So, I'm proof that the kindergartner coming up now with nothing can end up being exactly where I'm at, because I was in that kindergartner that came from that, and I was in his shoes, So that white stuff, black stuff, it ain't about all that. That man opened the door for me, and he's a white guy. And I tell anybody all the way around the world that he opened it up for me.
Yes, sir. Now, see, so people, y'all can listen to the show, share it with people. Just look for it. All you do is go to blogtalkradio.com/SteadyJ, CEDDYJ. That's the letter J. And you go there, you'll be able to find all the shows, including today's show is Mark Male Models Roundtable 2015. That one is the one you want to listen to. Again, thank you for everyone that's listening. Thank you for the panel. And that leads me to what we always end the show off with. That's in everything you do, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, remember, well, there's a J or there's a U.
Wait.
Y'all tuned to the episode of Life at Dusk Live, sponsored by Audible.com. Get your free 30-day trial, 30-day free trial, yes, in the audiobook by going to audibletrial.com/SteadyJ. All right, we out. Peace.
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 Peace.